Welcome, everybody, for the fifth week. Glad to be here and glad to continue this course and the exploration of the particular focus of this class is within that context of clarity, compassion, and empowerment as the three dimensions of experiencing and consciousness. The particular focus would be on when we are in the inner vulnerability, the relationship and the transition or the movement from inner vulnerability to inner empowerment and what that is. That's the naming of the particular focus. I'm going to go much more into detail in that in a moment. I'd like to begin, as always, with a short opening meditation, the intention of which is to focus and become centered in your own being and bring presence to your experience. So just for a couple of minutes, we'll just start out by asking each person just to get in a comfortable position, relax, breathe, and just begin to slow down your process just to become more present. Let yourself feel the feeling, the sensing of the breath as it naturally and easily moves in and out. Just allow the natural rhythm of your breathing to flow. As you're breathing, feel the sensation, the energy in and through the body. Just let yourself feel it, all the different qualities of feeling. Notice where the energy is and how it flows, in what parts of your body, your legs and your feet, your torso, your arms and your hand, in your head, shoulders. Just sort of do a scan and notice and simply be with the quality of felt energy in the body. So even if a part of you has labeled or named the feeling or the quality of your experience, loosen the labeling, just sort of lightly rest or let it go, and allow yourself to feel simply the physicality of it without any name, without any label, the pure physicality of it, as if it's all sensation. All the while aware of your breathing. Notice if there's any part of your experiencing that has relaxed. Notice if you sense, feel yourself to be more present. And in the very heart of your experiencing right now, notice if you can discern the two aspects. One is the feeling itself, the experiencing itself, the energetic itself. And then two, the other part is the one who is observing, the watching, the witnessing, that awareness that is aware of experiencing. Just see if you could notice. Awareness, attention, which is the same thing, and that which is attended to, awareness of feeling, sensing, experiencing. So, maintaining your awareness as much as you're able to. Just breathing more deliberately and fully. You can leave your eyes closed or leave them open as I transition into going to share with you a quotation that I found. I'm not aware of the author of this quotation, but it's, I enjoyed the articulation of it, very consistent with what the focus is today. Your attention is powerful, full of power. The kind of attention I'm talking about is your non-judgmental, welcoming, loving attention. This attention energizes and enlivens all things in your life. Your attention arises from inside of you, from that presence we'll call your inner self. What you pay attention to and how you pay attention is how you use your power. When you reclaim your attention, you reclaim your power, your true power. And this leads to a more peaceful, fulfilling, and creative life. So there's a lot in this reading. I'm actually going to say it again, just sort of take it in and just notice what arises in your awareness. Your attention is powerful, full of power. The kind of attention I'm talking about is your non-judgmental, welcoming, loving attention. This attention energizes and enlivens all things in your life. Your attention arises from inside you, from that presence we'll call your inner self. What you pay attention to and how you pay attention is how you use your power. When you reclaim your attention, you reclaim your power, your true power, and this leads to a more peaceful, fulfilling, and creative life. Moving on. So I'll move on. And just to set the context for this review of these three dimensions, clarity, compassion, and empowerment, you know, over the work that I've done in integrating nonviolent communication and sharing it, I found that if we were to look at some of the major components that often, as we think about nonviolent communication, those components of when we are connected and communicate a clear observation, and we are able to then touch into the fullness of our authenticity with what we're needing and valuing, and the authentic emotions, then give rise to whatever moves forward in making a request, action that we take. These four components I found to be inherent in clarity, compassion, and empowerment. So for example, just to break it down, clarity is developed when I'm able to experience factual observation, that's part of my experience, and distinguish it from the thinking and the story and the evaluative mind involvement. So when I can make a non-evaluative observation and really own my thinking, that provides clarity, kind of cognitive and experiential clarity. So this for me is the foundation of the precondition of what follows. And built on that, or what emerges from clarity, is compassion. Now, compassion comprises a number of qualities. Compassion is that inner space that contains my vulnerability and my authenticity, which are both my feelings and my needs, both the deep longings of the heart, and the space in which I experience my vulnerability. And so what I call compassion emerges from clarity, because without clarity, I don't have the inner spaciousness out of which compassion arises, out of which authenticity arises. And then this is the base of this course, that out of that inner space of vulnerability, authenticity, and compassion emerges empowerment. And this is how I experience it. So when I'm empowered means I'm in touch with and I'm fully living the authenticity of my deepest needs, the authenticity of my longings and what truly matters to me. And when I'm in this consciousness, when I'm living this in an embodied way, then I am truly empowered. Then it's the impulse that moves me forward to then speak and act on what I am truly needing. And when I'm in that place, another way to say it is that I'm embedded in the fullness and the beauty of my needs in an embodied way. for me, when I'm connected to this, I'm truly empowered to move forward, to act, to make requests, to see and hear other people. So for me, this is one of the definitions, the primary definition I think that I give to inner empowerment. So in any life experience, there's a potential to enter into the inner dimensions and be with the transformational process, which is much of what this work is about. So as we enter into our compassionately embracing our inner life, we enter into all the dimensions of it, our thinking, story, emotional feelings, physical felt sense, and our longings and felt values. So as you know, we have created this inner space in which we allow and breathe patiently and gently, creating the inner space. And then what arises out of that is very often, I would say always, the inner passageway that I call vulnerability. From this space of vulnerability, I'm going to sort of explore this with a group in a moment. Rather than being seen as weakness, which I think is can be called the conventional interpretation or view from the protective part of us, seeing vulnerability as dangerous and weak, but from this authentic place, vulnerability is felt as a strength. There's a real strength. And from this strength emerges an inner empowerment. So I'm in my heart, in the vulnerability, in my authenticity. So this is what I experience. Then I'm truly empowered to move ahead, to live, and to act from this space. So cultivating this inner spaciousness, the inner vulnerability for me is absolutely essential for the fullness of how I want to live. The one distinction I think is really important is that when I'm in relationship to life and I'm wanting to deeply self-connect, and as we all have been guided to in the practice of nonviolent communication, the connection with our core needs, what truly matters to me in relationship to life is really essentially the center of my empowerment. And there's one distinction that's been very helpful to me is that when I'm connected to my needs, it's important for me to acknowledge whether in this situation what I'm needing and valuing is actually fulfilled or not fulfilled. And the important distinction is that even if my value and need is not fulfilled, that the quality and energy of the need itself has a fullness rather than a lack. So the distinction between fullness and lack is absolutely essential, because I can be in a painful situation in which the story tells me and it keeps me focused on the lack or what is wrong or what is missing rather than on what I long for and the fullness and how I'm holding something precious. So I'm going to just stop right there, make sure that everyone is following me. So from what I've said so far is this essential principles of clarity, compassion, and empowerment, and the movement from vulnerability to empowerment. Is there anybody that has a response, a question for clarification, or does this in any way resonate?
Yes, this is resonating, but I would like clarification of something. You often talk about longings, and I'm wondering, Is that the same as need?
They're related. There's a particular quality. For example, if I'm in an exchange with someone, and in this communication exchange, the person says something that's not in aligned with my intention. They don't fully understand what I'm saying from my experience. The classic NVC language would be stated as my need for understanding is not met. But understanding is an inherent value. It's something that is precious for me. So it's the quality, the value for understanding already lives in my heart. So one way to connect with this inherent value or need is to connect with my longing for it. So I can reflect on this exchange and say, in this exchange, I'm feeling perhaps some kind of emotional pain or constriction, perhaps disappointment, because I so long for understanding. The longing, the language of longing for me is important because it takes me from my head into my heart. Mm-hmm. I so long for understanding. I so value understanding. And there's a preciousness to it, even though in this exchange it was not fulfilled. So there is this poignant relationship between the sadness that I feel and the beauty of it, the preciousness of it.
Yes, so I understand that. I don't understand the distinction between need and longing. It sounds to me just like other words for the same thing. If I'm aware
I have a need,
I long for it.
Yeah, that's exactly true. I'm hoping I'm saying that there isn't a distinction. When I get in touch with my longing, it's a way to connect with how the need lives in me. That sounds like that's clear for you.
Yes, thank you.
All right. There's another hand up.
Recently, I've become more aware of, is in this relationship to life, when I go through these steps and get to the place where I'm able to recognize whether the need is met or unmet in such a way that there's a real profound quality of mourning within this fullness of the longing being met from within me. And what I've noticed happening with that more and more is how much it dissolves any enemy images that may have been there prior in the initial knee-jerk reaction, and how I stay connected to the other through this process. It's been really helpful.
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing that. I like that you know, articulating this additional dimension. For me, I fully resonate with that. I could also say that it does dissolve the enemy images. There's something about the power of living in the beauty of a need, whether it's met or unmet. And that's a really important phrase. I can exist and live in the fullness and the beauty of what I hold precious, whether it's fulfilled or unfulfilled. That is so powerful, and it takes me out of fear, it takes me out of enemy images, and I can stay more authentically connected to the other person. So I'm just rewording what you said.
Yeah, I'm appreciating the words as it lives in you. Thank you for that reflection.
Yeah, yeah. Great. Okay. So I think I'm going to move on. I'm going to ask us to do, as a whole group, kind of an exercise that would be helped if everyone has something to write with, just pencil or a pen and a piece of paper. I'm just going to make some short lists. So I think it would support the process for everybody just to be able to write a few words down in response to the questions I'm going to ask or invite. We're going to explore the qualities of vulnerability and inner empowerment. And just so that we can flesh out and take a look as a group, how are these qualities experienced and felt with each person? There was four questions. The first one is, what is my vulnerability? What I'm inviting right now is each person, to whatever extent you're able to, again, there's no right or wrong, when you imagine or remember perhaps a moment of vulnerability, and perhaps even now there is something that you can reflect on or some quality of a vulnerable, open experiencing. Just ask each person to tune into that, to bring your awareness to any sense of your inner vulnerability. And in doing so, what are the felt qualities? There's sense of felt qualities. For example, when I tune into my vulnerability, what I call a vulnerable state within me, the feeling state, it's definitely one in which there's predominantly feeling and not thought. That's one example. Another example is, there is a quality in my vulnerability of softness and tenderness. So if you want to write that down, that would be part of this exercise. My response is, it's a feeling state. I actually feel, and there's not a lot of predominant thought. There's softness and there's tenderness. So maybe one or two word responses. When you're in your vulnerability, can you name for you what are the felt qualities, and I'll say what they are, or everybody can hear it actually.
I'm struck, as much as I deeply value vulnerability, the feelings that come up are sadness and fear. I'm really hoping I'm not the only one.
Yeah, okay, sadness and fear.
I love it.
Yeah, that is the quality of vulnerability for you. Okay, And what would it be for you?
For me, Robert, there's a sense of rawness and pause.
Rawness and pause. A sense of rawness, I get that. Kind of really fragile rawness. By pause, you mean it gives rise for you to, it draws you into being with it and pausing with the feeling. Is that what you mean?
Yes. It's as if time slows down remarkably.
Time slows down. Okay. Oh, I like that. What is vulnerability?
Into more of a melting and a merging.
Uh-huh. Melting and merging. I like that. I sense the melting. Can you say more, just a couple of words more about the merging, just so I can connect to that quality?
The merging for me feels like I can connect into that all that is, which for me becomes that magically creative, co-creative space where all this, I think, is really happening.
Ah, so it's a kind of, it opens you up to the world, to all that is, the sense of encompassingness. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I didn't think about it as opening, but yes,
okay.
I think it is, although that's not the way it came across to me.
Okay, well, I want to stay with how it comes to you. I don't want to add.
I think it's that I become part of, I become more a part, I mean, you're always part of it, so it's not like you're not, but it becomes a visceral feeling of merging, of melting, merging into that expansion. It's a real huge expansion, I would say.
Yeah, great. Thank you for that clarification. I definitely get the distinction between open and the sense of visceral merging. Great.
That's cool. That's great. Thank you for this.
Yeah, great. Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to share a sense of your inner vulnerability and even the exercise to feel it right now or remember it, I think can be a valuable exercise. What would you say?
Hi, Robert.
Hi.
To me, it's got a quality of aliveness, being present in the moment. And strange as it's being vulnerable, it means I'm not protected. But at the same time, I feel like I'm protected by life.
Mm. I love that distinction. Let me see if this says it. We say I'm not protected. Does that mean that you're not defending yourself? You're in an more of a relaxed, non-defensive place. So you're.
I will lower all my usual defenses or protective fences. Yeah.
And then when you say I'm protected by life, does that a sense of a deep trust in life? Trust that there's no need to protect in the other way, but that life protects you. You're held. That.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Very much.
Beautiful. Great. Wonderful. Let's take one more.
I would say gentleness and holding, nurturing, being with, which usually feels like relationship either with me and or another, and definitely openness. That was the first word that actually came for me was openness.
Beautiful. Okay. Okay. Thank you all. Now here's the second part of the exploration. Stay in touch, if you can, as much as you're able to right now, with your vulnerability. And sense into the vulnerability. And here's the way I articulated the question is, how does my vulnerability touch my longings? You may have a different word, but you sense into the longings in your vulnerability. So take a moment to feel into that. As we're doing that, I'll pause and share just an immediate response for, you know, my answer, my response to that question is, in this moment when I feel this tenderness in my own vulnerability, it has a quality of sadness, but it's tender. And my longing is simply a longing for love and to be held with warmth. That's the energy of a longing. And so the question, how does my vulnerability touch my longings? It's as though, as if the vulnerability had, now this is just an image, a metaphor, it just now came to me, is that if it had arms reaching out to life, an energetic reach, the reach is the longing for love. It's the very same energy, but it's the energy of vulnerability is extended as though my heart is extending, longing for love. Not necessarily love from another person, but I guess love from the presence of life itself. Love, perhaps, from the divine. Love from some unknown, mysterious presences. But love. Curious to hear, as with the previous question, one or two words or some words around how does your vulnerability touch into your longings?
A lot of longing that came up with this in the areas of ease and flow and authenticity, also physical safety, and something around mutuality, creativity, and power with, and inclusion, all those.
Yeah. So those are the qualities that I'm hearing. Those are qualities of what you're longing for ease, flow, mutuality, all of those. Is that correct?
Uh-huh.
Do you have a sense of the relationship between vulnerability and longing? That space, that relatedness, if that's even meaningful, a question for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a sense, or could you say just a bit about what that is, that space from vulnerability to longing?
Yeah, it's toward an energy. It's toward a life energy.
Okay. Yeah.
Vulnerability feels a little bit less energetic. Feels a little. The sadness feels a little bit less connected to life,
okay.
And so the connection is toward that.
Okay.
Toward
great.
That life force.
The sense of the operative word for me, as I'm hearing, is towards an energy. There's
yes.
a movement towards longing. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. I see another hand.
Well, I have an image of a puppy. Just the wiggliness, the eagerness, the going towards something without really caring what it is, just some joy in living.
Yeah. Yes. Beautiful. I'm really enjoying that because one of the elements, it resonates with how I hold vulnerability, because the image of the puppy, that wiggliness gives rise to, as I'm hearing, is, like you said, joy or play. So that vulnerability doesn't necessarily contain only those feelings like sadness or pain or the rawness, but actually can contain the openness and joy. So I'm appreciating hearing that because, yeah, that's how I hold it as well.
Well, I know for me, if I'm in a childlike place, it's easier to be more vulnerable and feel the playfulness. But if I'm touching into a raw space of myself, then there is sadness. Vulnerability is the longing is so strong or hasn't been met that I'm feeling so vulnerable.
Yeah. I got that. So what I'm hearing is both are there. The sadness and the pain, painful perhaps, that kind of vulnerability is present as well at another moment. It can be the joy. Yeah, beautiful.
The word that comes to me that expresses the longing, and I sat with this for a time, is delight. It's from rawness and that pause to something. It's almost the... It's interesting. It's not the safety that I'm longing for, but it's an experience of delight. There's a lightness to it. There's a kind of joy of life that those longings are, and that's where the vulnerability is taking me towards, longing for the joy of life.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you. You know, one of the things that emerged in me right now, and I'm surprised that I didn't say it because it's such a prominent quality, is innocence. You know, I hear the puppy image and then what you just said. So for me, in my vulnerability, there's a quality of innocence. It's not innocence about innocent or guilty behavior, that kind of a duality, but there's a purity to my vulnerability. It's unencumbered by any kind of label or rightness or wrongness. It's just a purity there. And so in that purity, I call that an innocence. So that is also there for me.
You know, I'm really enjoying the exploration of this, and the answers I had to this seemed really connected to the just under the moment of awareness of being in a reactive thought state. So this is kind of where this place is in me that I'm tracking, that what comes up for me is I really related to Louise saying she feels sadness and fear. And for me, there's always a sense of this gentle, subtle sadness that's like a wave of just opening into this unknown territory. And with that, there's an edge of fear, and it's really kind of a shimmery kind of a quality of vulnerability that includes for me this concept of separation that's not real, but that we kind of believe a lot. And so it's kind of like moving in through that space. And I love what you said about the reaching arms, because it feels like that a lot for me too. Coming from that place and then reaching out these tendrils of curiosity first inside of myself to explore the accountability within myself, to say to myself, is it I? What is it? What is it in me? And where is that longing? What is that that's so precious, that was just pinpricked by this experience, that's really wanting to be heard and felt? And what is it in that other person? And I find that in that exploration, there's this recognition of the communion of all life and all needs being interconnected that just allows for this moving into the point of being in it together.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I'd like to hear from one more person, and I'd like to move on to the next part, vulnerability to longings.
To me, there came a picture. It's like vulnerability is like a gateway that enables me to enter a room with many more doors, and behind every door, each door is a longing. And unless I enter this room, these longings might be there, but I cannot feel them. So vulnerability enables me to get into this room and to open these doors, or they might open up themselves, and the longing might be, I can feel it then.
Okay, beautiful. Okay, so the next quality I'd like us to explore in this very same one is this question for you, each person, to answer this. What is inner empowerment? Not so much what actions that might follow from empowerment, but what's the quality of inner empowerment? How do I experience and define it for myself? Just take a moment to ponder, to be with this within yourself, this inquiry. When I have a sense of inner empowerment, examine that. What is that inside?
I actually wrote this earlier. I explored these things before the call, and I had written inner empowerment is redirecting my response to myself or to the world through my body, my heart, through clear thoughts and actions based on our common life and common values. It bubbles up from the depths of my heart's longing.
The part that resonates most strongly for me is that it bubbles up from the heart of my, from my heart's longing. Okay, great.
Mine seemed to be focused on curiosity and a willingness to really explore life. So it really bubbles up, as that's a great word for it, is the curiosity that I've been stuck in, and curiosity becomes the next phase of that.
Yes.
That's
okay,
the beginning
thank
of
you.
The power.
Okay. So again, curiosity and willingness to explore life. The curiosity, again, this is quality that I'm hearing in these responses, that empowerment is something that is within, but it also moves out. Curiosity moves out. The willingness to explore life is moving out towards life. Does that resonate?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. There's two more hands.
My response to inner empowerment is a peaceful action without calculation of outcomes.
Okay. Yeah. that particular part of without the calculation on outcome. For me, that's a really important component of it. And then peaceful action, I'm just curious for you and other participants, when you sense into the peaceful action part of it and without the calculation for outcome, how that rests in you, what the energetic or the feeling sense of that is within you when you're experiencing that? Do you have a sense of that?
It is a rest. And by peaceful, I don't mean a moral judgment, but more that I'm at peace. There's no hooks on me. It's coming from a deep source that's at peace.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the deep source is already at peace. So it's an energetic state, mm-hmm. sort of the sourcing from which your action comes. And then the action comes out into life without any attachment to the outcome.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Thanks, Robert.
Yeah.
Through this whole exercise, I've been feeling a little constriction in my heart. I'm trying to allow it to be there. And when you ask the question, what are the qualities of these various things, when you asked about what is the quality of inner empowerment, I remembered a feeling that came to me when I was doing the exercise with my partner. And what it felt like was the word that came to me is free.
Free.
Free, and that I can choose, and I have a say, I can choose, and I can extend empathy to myself and others.
The sense of the empowerment comes from the freedom that you can choose, a sort of moving ahead in life, in relationship, and you have this freedom. Mm-hmm. Yeah, great.
But I'm curious, I'm really curious as to why this little fear or sadness or this little sense of constriction is in my heart.
So that curiosity, is that curiosity sort of an openness? You don't know and you maybe want to feel it, to understand it in a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me just for a moment, if you stay with me for a moment on this, because it's part of this next exercise, I want to maybe demonstrate if it's possible. Do you have a sense of that little constriction right now?
Yes.
Can you just attend to it? Just notice it. Be with it right now in the body. Can you sense into the vulnerability that's right there? It's right beneath the constriction, perhaps right surrounding it. Do you sense any vulnerability, some movement, some energy that's right there in the constriction?
In attending to it and looking for the vulnerability in it, it is softening.
It's softening, okay. So the attending to it, I'm guessing, is contributing to the softening. I'm not sure, but that's my sense of it.
Yes, that's what it feels like.
And do you experience the softening as vulnerable?
Yes, I'm having to remind myself of the meaning of vulnerable every time you ask about it.
Remind yourself of the meaning, did you say?
Yeah, that it's openness, that it's not fear and weakness.
Okay, great. Okay, and so I want to say important qualities here around inner empowerment. For me, the central experience of empowerment is a couple of you who shared was aligned with what I'm about to say in terms of my experience of empowerment. Empowerment is something that is an emergent quality. In other words, one of the five core principles that I share about is that when we are in life, when we are in the experience of the vibration of life, our inner life, the sense of the fullness of what we long for, the beauty of what we are valuing, the beauty of our needs, when we're actually embodied in that, it is a quality of life force. And life force, by its very nature, does not stay isolated. It reaches out into life, reaching for relationship, reaching for service, for contribution. So for me, this is empowerment. When I'm feeling the inner vibration of life force in whatever particular form it is that I can say it's this need or that need, the life current itself naturally moves into life. And that is empowerment because it empowers me to act. And I like Hawkeye's expression of it, is that there's a deep source out of which action emerges. So that, for me, this is how I define empowerment. This is why this inner work, where so much of the focus is apparently inward, I always want to remind myself and to remind others that for me, it's not an isolated inwardness. It's a relational inwardness. It's that I am in life always, and that I want to draw my attention to the deep authenticity, the deep source, so that when I enter life, when I enter into relationships, that it comes from this deep, authentic source. And only then do I experience being that true empowerment. Because for me, power is the life force itself. And so it's a very important emphasis for me, because I'm careful and I'm wary of this inner work being interpreted as an isolated work, as one that is just a within rather than in life. So I would like each person to have this experience, and I do have an exercise that I created. So I actually do want to review the phases of this. We've already explored some of it in this group exercise, asking for the various qualities of vulnerability to longing, and inner empowerment. And so there's 7 different steps to it. The first one is to bring into your awareness an experience in which you felt vulnerable. Just recall that. And then the second part is, I think it's always helpful to identify what was a stimulus in this experience. It's to name something that you experienced in yourself from someone else, perhaps. And then notice if there's any kind of reactive constriction in you. Just share what that is. And then the question that I just asked, you sense in that constriction, if you're feeling that reactive constriction, it might not be there if you're feeling just the vulnerability, but if there is a reactive constriction, just attend to that constriction, attend to the tightness, maybe it's anger, maybe it's fear, whatever it is, and just attend to it and sense into it. Not so much look for it, but sense on the outer edges of it or within it. There is a vulnerability right there in that reactive experience. Just feel whatever, if it's fear, sometimes there's vulnerable fear. In other words, maybe shaky, maybe a fragile fear, if that's the nature of the constriction. And then the next one is, and when you're feeling the vulnerability, if there's that softness, fragility, openness, whatever it is, feel the longing in the vulnerability. What is the quality one is longing for? Then identify, feel the need or the value or the quality that is longed for. We're longing for freedom, longing for love, longing for belonging, for acceptance. Then feel the fullness and the beauty of this need and value. Feel it, allow it to emerge. Then the last one is, as much as you're able to, you simply dwell in that energy and the fullness. Dwell in it, feel it in the body. So I'm going to invite you all to practice this in your pairs. So I'm going to allow about 12 minutes for each person. And then the listener, do the best you can to either support the person, reminding them of the different steps, or the most important part is you just provide an empathic presence and just provide an occasional empathic reflection as this person does this process and exercise. Well, then you're in your pairs, and for efficiency's sake, my recommendation is to, you can simply check in with the person and don't need to go into a story with what the stimulus is. Just identify it concisely and then just start sharing your experience. You can go ahead and begin.
If you'd like to participate in the practice exercise, please stop the recording now. Complete the exercise and then continue when you're ready.
Great. So after the practice session, I think I'm going to ask you all to just take a moment to connect with yourself, just a couple of moments of silence before we move into the sharing, and just sort of connect, sense into what you're aware of right now. What are you feeling? What's alive in you? and just let the experience of the class so far in the practice, just a little bit of space to integrate it. Integrate, let it work on you. Whatever that is, sit with it, be with it. If there's any energy predominantly in the head, relax and let's sink down into the body and into the heart. Breathe. Let the learning settle into your heart. And now from this place, I'd like you to ponder. I'm inviting the sharing, and this is the kind of sharing that I would enjoy hearing. Number one, is there something you're grateful for or you celebrate in the class so far, and especially in this paired practice? Just notice that. Be one question. Another question in addition to that would be, from this practice in this class so far, is there something that you are inspired to carry forward? Whatever that might be. And then, are there any questions that would help to deepen your understanding and clarity that perhaps it emerged, perhaps in an incomplete way in this practice, something that's wanting completion by asking a question? Those are three possibilities, and what I'm asking for is not exclusive to those three, but those are some guidelines. So I am now open to hearing any responses and sharing.
I took on something fairly big. In following my body's sensation and just being with that feeling to see where it would carry me to that vulnerable space, it was so constricting and consuming that I had to use my head to get out of it because I felt like I was going to implode the deep, dark depression and not get out of it. But I do have the invitation, only from experience with the work from before, that I will find the vulnerability and some power behind it. But I recognize I'm going to be timed to do it. So I'm grateful for knowing that this is possible. There's a tremendous amount of energy there. I have to work through the willingness to stay with it long enough to actually find the vulnerability and the hope that comes from belonging.
So where are you now with respect to the process? I heard that when you felt the experience, it was so intense, the pain was so strong, that a part of you came up, and it sounds like you thought that you couldn't handle it. It was too much, that you might
right,
go into a deep depression. Were you willing to hear just a couple of hints for how you might consider to be with
absolutely.
That right now? So I'm hesitant to ask you to touch into that intensity right now, but just even hearing what I'm saying, there may be a part of you that sort of senses and feels the intensity. And
yes.
So when you feel the intensity, then I think you attempted to, and what I would suggest is allow yourself just to feel the physicality of it, just the physical feeling. And when you do that, notice what the mind will do. It comes to conclusions, evaluations about the intensity, and this is the way sometimes the mind is very subtle, but it's the mind, is that it says, I can't handle it, I'm going to go into depression. That's the mind. It's not the physicality.
That rings true, My mind
took over. So that can be having this as a guideline to continue this, and not just for you. I wanted to say it out loud for the other participants who are listening. The mind will try to convince me to not feel what is felt. And what I've experienced is that whatever is in me is never dangerous. The feeling, the life energy itself, is always benign. The mind will try to convince me out of the conditioning and out of my past trauma that it's dangerous to feel, that I'll get lost in depression, that I'll get lost in the pain, etc. The story goes on and on. Does that seem useful to you, helpful?
Totally.
And also, when you hear that mind thought, it's not necessarily to dismiss it. It's that we can empathize with what the mind is putting out, that there are deep needs that are behind that message, in a sense, into empathically hearing the voice that says, no, no, don't go there, it's too dangerous. Sense the longing for safety and trust, perhaps, in that voice. So you transform the mind back into the heart, always. Great. Thank you, Kirk. I see another hand.
I had two observations for me from this work today with my partner. One is that I come with a different quality of listening to myself with the presence of another. It really is striking to me that most of my process came from just listening to myself as I progressed through this. And yet it was so important that another was listening for me.
Yeah.
It's really quite remarkable. I can't really quite say enough how significant it is. I come to my own self with a different quality. The second part for me was that when I came to the beauty of my longing and that I tried to come up to do something, I wasn't ready. That's what I noticed. It's like I could tell as I came up, it still had some tinge of attachment or investment or some judgment. So I can see there's something about, for me, staying with the beauty until there's kind of a natural emergence instead of me trying to do something. Thank you.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. I think just to kind of reaffirm how important that is that sense of I'm hearing a trust, a self-trust in that, not ready to move forward, so to speak, but as you felt that tinge of attachment or investment, is this sort of something in you said just to stay with it? Just to stay with it sort of patiently.
Yeah, there's something about a habit of not dwelling, really taking the opportunity without any agenda, just to stay with the beauty.
And I'm sensing that in my own experience that if you do that, that there is perhaps a natural trust that emerges, that in the time that your energy will move out, will reach out, will connect, or something like that. So I did also want to confirm your first observation. I think it's an almost universal phenomenon. I'm sure that I've experienced it, that there just the quality of having the presence of another person listening and how that absolutely affects the quality of your own experience. So I can confirm that, but it also brings up it's a curiosity for me around exploring. Is there something I can do without the presence of another to enhance my own presence? It's not that I'm trying to duplicate or replace the presence of another, because I don't think that can be done. It's just an inquiry, a questioning, a wondering. Is there something that I can do to enhance my own listening to myself so that there's more presence within me?
Thank you. I like that inquiry very much.
Okay, great. Yes, I am curious, and I would love to hear other people want to connect, and I do see another hand.
Hi, Robert. So the need was for belonging, and I often don't feel like I belong, but that need was met, and so what I'm thinking now is that in having the longing met, that I'm less needy. I've been filled up in some respects, so I'm not as grabby. I don't know what word to say, but it's like once there's a little bit in there, you never go back to depletion.
Yes, beautiful. I so appreciate it, and so it resonates to me, so important what you're saying, because it touches this principle that I've been sharing, is a sense of what, when you said you're so filled up, because within you, you felt and touched the fullness of your longing. And then you said, I'm not as grabby. I mean, I love the words. To me, it's quite articulate. Because you're already filled up. And my experience, and just check with you, that means that I'm no longer looking outside or dependent on something to fill me up, because I'm fundamentally coming from a deficient or lacking space.
Mm.
Because I'm already filled. That doesn't mean that I don't continue to reach out, but that when I do reach out, I come from a fullness. I don't come from the lack. Does that resonate?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's one thing to articulate this conceptually, but it's an entirely different thing to actually experience this thing. And I'm getting that you have some degree of experience of this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That helps.
Great. Wonderful. Okay, I see two more hands up.
Hi, Robert. I just want to celebrate and express my deep gratitude for today's practice, and I was able to arrive with the very gentle guidance of my practice partner at a very beautiful place, and I heard myself saying, I would like to stay here very long and visit this place very often in the future. And it was very much what you and Ricky were just talking about. I just wanted to say thank you, and integrating the principle of vulnerability helped me so much today to get into the fullness even deeper. Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that celebration. Thank you very much.
Mm. Okay. Thank you.
So we'll move on.
Yes, there's two things I'd like to express gratitude for, and one of them is the actual intention that you provided for this class with the handouts and the questions that created even that inquiry before even attending class, and the questions, how they lead into, for me, the inner inquiry of how these things live and move in me, and then the sometimes fumbling attempt to express it, but yet, you know, to try, and the vulnerability around all of that. The other thing that I'm really grateful for was the opportunity to work with my partner and how profoundly meaningful it is to me to hear someone verbalizing their experience through the map of their inner territory and the different little ways they might choose to go from here to there, that really helps me not just to get to be, there's the two elements, it's the actual being with them and that level of being present with another, but there's also a gift of seeing into that whole journey as it's expressed that's hugely helpful in my learning. And I'm just so grateful for that opportunity. Thank you.
Great. Wonderful. I love hearing that celebration. Yeah, we still have a few minutes left. The sharing that I'd be asking for right now is in addition to, I'm curious to hear just sort of with the whole class and the meaning that this particular focus has been to you and perhaps how it's been helpful to you, how it's supported you. I'd like to hear feedback for this entire class. What stood out for you and what are some questions that are left over for you to further explore as a way of debriefing the entire class today. So I would love hearing from people. So I see a hand up already.
One thing that struck me from today's class, and especially what you were saying to Ricky, is the sense of inner empowerment is got to do with not feeling lonely anymore. There's a link there for me between empowerment versus loneliness. If I have clarity and compassion leading to inner empowerment, I have a sense of the fullness of my longing, and I'm not reaching out to anyone out there to try to desperately fill a gap or a lack. And instead, I'm really in my power, and I relate to other people in a very different place. And also, even when I am on my own, the longing is full. So it's not like I'm kind of battling with a sense of aloneness or loneliness. I'm not sure if that makes sense, but that's what's coming up.
Oh, it absolutely makes sense. Not so much for my head, but I so deeply resonate with what you're saying. I mean, there's an inner excitement that I feel as I'm hearing that, and just, it's intriguing to me. I mean, intriguing is just one word, but I love the link between the loneliness and the sense of, this is what I'm hearing, so you verify if that's part of what you're saying, is when you feel the beauty and fullness of your longing, that somehow that fills you, that fulfills something within you. And then the loneliness that can be seen as reaching outside, if only someone were here to fill my loneliness, somehow that disappears, that changes, because you're filled, yeah. You're full. Is that kind of what I'm hearing you say?
Yes, and I suppose the reason why I'm making this connection just now is that I used to be a lonely, a lot, pretty much all the time, you know, waking up at night and feeling the loneliness and then working really hard just to feel the loneliness or to, you know, to battle against it or whatever. And I feel like in recent years, but even more in recent months, the nothing in the external circumstances of my life has changed. And yet this sense of loneliness is hardly there at the moment. And I think it's because I am feeling a lot more fulfilled from inside. So there's definitely something about the quality of fullness of my needs that has transformed this experience of loneliness, although externally, I would say nothing has changed, or nothing yes. noticeable anyway.
Yeah, beautiful. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's like, you know, as you share that, what resonates in me is a sort of, there's a sense of a principle that I've experienced. Principle is a sort of, I'm not sure if that's the correct word, but it's sort of a truth, a theme that runs through life. And this is the theme or the truth or the principle as I hear you share and as it resonates in me. It's sort of like everything that I feel, my loneliness, my fear, my reaction, my anger perhaps, the conditioning tells me that it's about the world or the outside, or that it comes from situations or other people, and that that's what it's about primarily. If I could only manage it somehow in the world, then somehow that is a solution. And yet this paradigm, this other way of approaching, is sort of like it turns something fundamentally around. The message is that these deep feelings, the deep loneliness perhaps, or maybe the fear, whatever it is that's been with me, is really a message from my inner being. It's a deep message from my inner being that is stimulated by life experiences, but it is something in my inner being that is so longing for life, as though it's that my inner being is longing for itself. I'm not sure if that's the best way. But this truth, I think, is coming verified over and over again, and so appreciate your sharing this. Does that way of characterizing, does that resonate with you?
Very much so, and that to me is the true meaning of empowerment. Actually, the liberation from loneliness is what I experience as empowerment. It's very profound. Yeah.
Yes, beautiful. Yeah. I totally resonate with that. Yeah. For me, that is also the true meaning of empowerment, is that very thing you just said. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you. So we're coming to the close of this class today. My heart feels very full. I so appreciate you all participating wholeheartedly and all of your sharing. It's very meaningful. I'm grateful for that. And so we'll close this class, and I'll say goodbye.